We're still talking about the inner man versus the outward man and learning what transformation really looks like for a believer. What an amazing gift God's given us, a path where no matter where you start as a human, once you're born again, there's a path for you to end up on this earth before heaven, walking, talking, living like Christ, walking in His love, His peace, His joy, His knowledge. That is all that's available for every single believer if they get on the path of transformation. Unfortunately, when I say that word transformation, many people have different ideas of what that means. There's a group of people that believe you're already fully complete when you're born again. Then all that's left is for you to accept who you are. Just accept it, believe it, and walk in who God made you. And because of that, we have many untransformed people preaching about Jesus. And it's all good. Anyone who preaches about Jesus is a good work. God's not offended by that. But his desire was when Jesus left, he was the seed for the children of God. When Jesus was glorified up in heaven, he wanted to multiply Jesus' effect on the earth. He wanted to see many more believers, children of God, walking the same way that Jesus did. Now, it's so foreign to the church world that could almost be claimed as blasphemous. You're just being blasphemous thinking that a believer can walk like Jesus. And I can't argue with that from the standpoint of me. I mean, if you look at my life, I'm not perfect. I got a long ways to go. I got things I got to overcome. I got a healing I'm receiving. I don't have the fruit of perfection in me. I'm not a great representative of Jesus, a perfect representative of Jesus at this moment, and probably you're not either. However, do we let go of that because of examples? Do we let go of the promise of God, the works that God did through Christ, He'll do through you? Do we let go of that promise to put on Jesus Christ? We're to put on Christ. We're to become like Jesus, not just a name only, but in His characteristics of love and holiness. And His holiness is much stronger than a typical Christian holiness. Typical Christian says, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't commit adultery. Jesus described that in saying, you've learned of old that don't commit adultery. But I say, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you've done the same act. See, His standard of holiness is much deeper than the average Christian's acceptance of holiness. Are we going to just continue passing this carnal Christianity to the next generation, how to do the best we can for God? And it's not a wrong message, it's just a lesser message. There's a more excellent message in the gospel that you as a believer, no matter where you start, with the helper of the Holy Spirit, can become like Christ. It's not a quick change. It's not a quick acceptance. It's a deep, deep path of great victories are ahead of you if you just get on the path. And so we're talking today about the picture of transformation. We've already talked a lot about the mind, that you have a spiritual mind, and that can be filled with the knowledge of God. And I want to go into a little bit on how that transformation takes place. But today, let's talk a little bit more about the possibilities of your future. How can you expect? I'm talking about you now. How can you expect? Not talking about me. As preachers get to talk about you, we don't have to talk about us. But how can you expect to believe that it's possible for you to think like Jesus thinks? That to have His thoughts built in your mind. And you know, I made fun of the horse religion, I call it. The carnal church teaches you how to obey God, which is the Holy Spirit working outside of you. And let's go there first. John chapter 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth. This is Jesus saying that the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. So we know from this already that you don't receive the Holy Spirit as your teacher when you're saved, because the world can't receive him. What you receive is a new nature. So you have the life of God in you, but the Holy Spirit as a teacher is not in you until you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, talking to the disciples who are not born again yet, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So we can see from this verse that there is a relationship that an unsaved follower of God can have with the Holy Spirit dwelling amongst them. They've seen the Holy Spirit work. We see in the Old Testament that people heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that is where your relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, is he is talking to you from the outside, talking to you. That is because you're not saved. They weren't saved in the old covenant. They weren't born again. They were still carnal men in the whole old covenant. And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the majority of it, the disciples were not born again. They were believers who follow God, but were not born again yet because Jesus was not glorified. So they were limited to a relationship with the Holy Spirit, where they saw his works, they saw miracles, they saw signs and wonders. He performed those with them, and they heard him. They were led by him. That is the natural ability to have a relationship with God. Unfortunately, in the church world today, even the ones who are spiritually hungry have learned how to walk like the disciples did before they were born again, to hear the Holy Spirit, to follow the Holy Spirit, to see the Holy Spirit work with them from the outside. And you see that in a lot of the meetings where they're looking for a glory cloud, an open heaven, excited about seeing and talking to angels and all those things. And some of it's all right, but some of it gets a little crazy. But there's a better work that Jesus says he will be in you. That is a work where the Holy Spirit can teach you, not just instruct you. The carnal Christian who is walking with God can have the Holy Spirit lead them and guide them and speak to them, but it's to their outward man. As Pastor Dave said one time, the Holy Spirit talking to you from the outside is kind of like slow motion. He's got to teach you really slow. He gave the joke of a TV show where a guy went to take his driver's test, and he was afraid, so he asked all his friends to come and sit behind him. When we took the driver's test, it said, what does the yield sign mean? And he turned to his friends and said, what does the yield sign mean? And they said, slow down. And he said, what does the yield sign mean? And they said, slow down. What does the yield sign mean? And Pastor Dave, you know, he was always a great, funny, he added so much humor into his messages. But that's how the Holy Spirit has to talk to you if you limit him to leading your life without teaching you. He doesn't teach your outward man. It says very clearly that when you pray in tongues, your understanding or intellect, and I would add the natural intellect, is left unfruitful. The Holy Spirit can give your outward man instructions and directions, and he can talk to you. And many Christians have heard his voice or found his leading, but because they're not praying in the Holy Ghost continuously, they limit him to teaching them, leading them from the outside, which says A, B, C. He has to teach you so slow and so little information. Most of it is like giving instructions. Do this, don't do that. But there is a relationship available for a believer to where the Holy Spirit will teach your inner man the great truths of God, the ancient wisdom, mysteries of God, where you will understand it and know it, not just regurgitate it. So many people read the Bible as the Word of God, and they say, that's what the Word says, so that's who I am. But this path of transformation is telling you, accept that truth of who you are, but then become it. And that's why this message of praying in tongues, worshiping God, your prayer closet is so important. And when you finally come to a place where you're frustrated with the lack of results, the lack of victory, the lack of fruit, not just in your life, but in praying for other people, in the church world itself. We're not seeing revival right now. We're seeing good moves, people doing good works. Some churches are full, but we're not winning the world. The world does not respect the church. Now the church is just like many other religions, giving them your philosophy, your ideas, and telling them they have to accept Jesus, but not showing them Jesus. God wants to show them Jesus through you, not just through the Word, not just through philosophy, but through you. Not just His power, yes, His power, but not just the power of the Holy Ghost, but also the love, the holiness, the kindness, the gentleness that Jesus was. You can be transformed into that if you get on the right path and stay on the right path. Can an unsaved man understand the Word of God? Let's start there. Can a non-born-again person, and there's lots of them who are in many different cultures and religions who study the Bible, the same Bible you do. They've learned Hebrew and know the Old Testament and can interpret many things. Is it possible for an unsaved man to really understand the truth that's in the Word of God? Well, I'm going to say some things, yeah, you can get a lot of things right just by learning and keeping things in context. You can get some good understanding and good truths and get it right. But you're also getting a lot of things wrong because the Word of God is really to be understood, especially the New Testament, is written to the born-again believer to understand who you are becoming in Christ. And that's why I say that you know, we have all the new AI systems going up and people in school, this new generation, they don't know how to spell. They don't know how to read a clock with hands on it because they haven't learned. They don't know cursive because they've all used their computers. And why memorize things when you can just Google it nowadays and get that information without memorizing everything? And so we got a whole generation who have relied on the computer and the internet, and a lot of the younger generation now are learning how to use AI to write their essays and to come up with ideas from to cheat. And so they're not developing their own ability. And so the AI that's coming is going to put a lot of people out of work because it'll take over their jobs the same way, you know, many years ago, they had a man that would turn the knob on the elevator to take you up to your floor and wore a nice hat and a nice suit, very elegant. As soon as they had a mechanical system that you can just push a button, that man lost his job. You don't get that anymore. You just go in and push a button. It was automated. Well, a lot of our knowledge is about to be automated. A lot of the things that people do is about to be automated by this AI system. But I can tell you one job that I know that the AI system cannot ever take over is that of a Holy Spirit, Spirit-led, Spirit-knowledge preacher, teacher. That's you. The AI system can read through the Bible probably in 10 seconds. It can take all the commentaries that were ever written and try to analyze it and come up with ideas that other men wrote. But the knowledge of God isn't transferred to the natural man. That's why the AI system can never connect to God and be taught, because it's a computer system. And I want to go even further, that the natural man, an unsaved man, also cannot understand spiritual wisdom because they're not spiritual, they're not born again. Now, how does that affect you? Well, when you were born again, we've learned in this series and a lot of what I've been teaching that your body isn't just a glove. When the New Testament talks about your body, it's not just talking about your hands and your fingers. It's talking about the mind, emotions, the carnal mind, the natural mind, the carnal emotions and desires of that natural man. That's why it says we must mortify the deeds of the body. Well, when I want to sin, where does that deed coming from? Is it my hand that's causing me to sin? Is there a desire in my hands and my fingers that are saying, go do this, go grab that, go do this, go steal? Is that desire from my hand? No, it's from the mind and emotions. The carnal man has desires. So this body that you're wearing isn't just a glove. And I've told you before, I can take a glove and put a leash on it, walk you down the street, and it's just going to follow me wherever I want. Is that how your body treats you? You say, I'm going to fast. And your body just says, okay, let's fast. Or do you find there's a war in there from somewhere where, no, you're not going to fast. We're going to eat or I'm going to die. And you have a struggle. Well, that struggle is not a glove. That's a struggle of the body demanding you feed it. Well, that's food. That's kind of normal. But what about unnatural things, desires for unnatural things, unhealthy things? How about when you say you're going to go pray in tongues for 4 hours and you set the time aside? Where does that fight to get you out of tongues? Get out of the prayer closet. We got to go do something. Where does that fight come from? Why is it so hard? Why is there a war when I go into God? Where is that war coming from? See, you're not a mess, but your outward man is. So we've learned that the outward man isn't from God, it's from Adam. And its mind, emotions, and desires are carnal. They're natural. And so, reading from Romans 8:10, we've already studied this. It says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, I've taught you that this means that the body, the outward man, with its mind, emotions, and desires, was left in death, in darkness. It was not saved. But your inner man, the spirit, is alive because of righteousness, because of that new nature. So your body, when you got saved, didn't change. Your outward man was not saved. It won't be saved until the trumpet sounds and we receive new eternal bodies. But until then, when I'm saved, my inner man was saved. My inner man came to life. I received a new nature in my spirit. My inner man, my human spirit, became born again, became alive. And now I have the ability, because in that human spirit, that human inner body, is a mind that's birthed of God, a heart for emotions that's birthed of God, and desires to only please God. So your inner man has the capacity to understand and learn truth, but your outward man, you're still wearing an outward man with a mind that hasn't been born again, hasn't been affected by God. So when I say, can a unsaved man understand the word of God, the truth, the deep wisdom of God? No matter how much you study, no matter how much you learn the Hebrew, if you're trying to filter it through your carnal mind, you're going to get a lot of things wrong. You might get some things right, but you're going to get a lot of things wrong. Because the carnal man is of this earth. It's a meathead. It's made of meat. It's got systems in there that nutrients go in and waste goes out of that brain. And you got to give it healthy things for it to really flourish. The smartest man in the world is comparable to the smartest AI system in the world. And it will never understand spiritual truths. But yet we have many people who have foregone the helper, the Holy Spirit working in them, and they're trying to teach you good things about God. You don't want to learn anyone's, any man's opinion, any computer system's idea of what a Christian is. You only want to learn from what knowledge comes from God Himself. And there is a way for God to pass that knowledge to you. And we're talking about the transformation process here, not so much about the mind. But let's go in this a little further. The other thing you've learned is that your body is not just your fingers and toes. It's also the mind, emotions, and desires. That were not changed. Your outer man did not transform the moment you were saved. Man, we'd fill the church up, you know. A woman brings her husband in, and he gets saved. He stands up. He's lost 50 pounds, and he's got all his hair back, and he looks handsome, and he's totally transformed. No, the outward man is left in death. It's not impacted. It's not improved. And so when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you can either have a relationship with the Holy Spirit speaking to you from the outside, where he has to, you force him by limiting his options. And he'll submit to that. He'll be glad to say, listen, if that's all you give me, I'll work with that. And for us tongue talkers, if you go to the lowest of the lowest churches of faith, where they believe in Jesus for salvation, but they don't believe that God speaks to you, they don't believe in the Holy Spirit, tongues, but they love God where they're at, and they're not trying to grow. Listen, you go in their services, you'll find that God's working, that God's helping them, because they're preaching Jesus. He's not against that. He doesn't say it's all or nothing. He'd never have any success if he just told everyone it's all or nothing. Either you're like Jesus, or you're on your own. No, he's so kind and so merciful that he'll work with whatever you give him. And if you hunger for more, he will help you to find more. The reason people are stuck in churches that are carnal is because that's what they've accepted. They don't hunger for more. Every person deserves their pastor. They're not hungering for more. If they ever hungered for more, just a little bit, the Holy Spirit would help them find a stronger path. And that's why you're here. If you look at your past, you've gone from place to place and have grown and matured and had to move on from some places and some teachings, because something in you allowed the Holy Spirit to come and say, I'm right here, let me help you find more. And thank God for that, because I wouldn't be here if he didn't help me where I was at when I was younger. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to go a little deeper here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen, I appreciate you being here and allow me to slow, methodically teach this. But I'm telling you, if this is truth, and only if you see it as truth, if this is the truth of God, it will get in you. I believe it's the truth of God. I wouldn't preach it. But it will get into your understanding, your spiritual man's understanding. It will protect you from untruths. There's a lot of preaching in the scripture that is similar, but it's not the same. Similar is not the same. I remember when I was dating Christy, or maybe we were just married. I think we were just married. And we were walking into a store, and there was a guy outside. He's like, hey, psst, come here. Come here. I got something for you. And I walked over there, and he opened up his trunk, and he had all these purses. And they were like famous named purses. Chanel, and I don't know all the names. Christy would know all the names. But expensive looking purses. And he's like, look, $20, you can get a purse. Well, I was like, Christy, look, come here quick. I don't care if they're stolen. Like, what a deal. And she took a look at him and said, no, it's not real. It's counterfeit. And I remember even being a kid, we'd go on mission trips to Mexico when I was 18, 19 years old. And we'd always stop to do a little shopping. I can buy a Rolex watch for $10. And it looked the same from a distance. But anyone who knew the real thing knew it was what's a 19-year-old doing with a Rolex anyway, right? But it looked the same. And so just because it's similar, it doesn't mean it is authentic. And my calling is about bringing the authentic forward. There's an authentic truth that originates in God's mind that's not mixed with opinions, man's ideas, good ideas. It's pure. And that truth can be given to you. And this is what Paul is comparing here in 1 Corinthians. I'll start in chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So he is pinpointing where you can know God from. And that is your spiritual man. Not the outward man, the spiritual man. Now we've received not the spirit of the world. Talking about you didn't receive a better, when you were born again, you didn't receive he didn't fix that old nature of sin and shine it up. He didn't polish it up and say, okay, now it's clean. But we receive the spirit which is from God. That's your new nature. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Your inner man being born again. See, your inner man was born again, but your outward man was not. So now you have two sources to learn and think from, two sources to feel and be emotional from, two sources to be led from, and that is your inner man or your outward man. And this is why there is a fight in your life. It's not because you're messed up, it's because you're wearing an outward body that is broken. And it can never understand the truth of God. Can a unborn-again man know the truth about God? They may get some things right, but they'll get a lot wrong. Now, we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So you want to learn. Learning, putting knowledge of God in your life is the walk of succeeding in God. Not just going and achieving. The motto for the carnal church is, what can I achieve for God? What can I do for God? And they forsake the learning. What father? I know in the old days, way back when there's a lot of poverty, a farmer would have a lot of kids, and then once the kid got to fourth grade, they'd pull them out of school so they can work in the farm. You're big enough now. We need your help on the farm. We need to make extra money. A lot of it was out of necessity, but what parent wouldn't fight with all their heart, with all their guts, to keep their kid in school so their kid can learn an education? And I feel that's how the modern church is, especially the zealous ones. They really push for achieving things for God. You know, I hear that often, Alan, we don't need to spend all that time in the prayer closet. We need to go out and do. You're already complete in God. Just accept it. Just yield over to it. Just have faith that the Word of God is true. And they go out and they do good works, and God's with them, and God will bless them. But wouldn't you rather sit down? I mean, what's more important for a young person, an immature person, than to sit down with a teacher, a mentor, and allow him to teach them the building blocks that will make them successful in the future? We are not to be salesmen for Jesus. We are to show the world Jesus in us. And that Christ has to be formed. It's not automatic. Pause there. Let me give you that verse. And I know I'm going to some of the same verses I've told you 100 times, but you know what? When you get it into you, then it will protect you from giving up on this path. Chapter 4 of Galatians, verse 19. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. So when you're born again, Christ is not formed in you yet. You have the nature of Christ and you have an immature inner man that is starving for truth that comes from the mind of God. Well, I wish there was a way to download that truth. And a lot of people, they go, Holy Spirit, teach me. And there is a way. Listen, if you're a carnal Christian and you're living your life for, with your outward man, then the Holy Spirit can speak to you. You can get in a crowd and all of a sudden you know something about someone else and you can share it and be accurate. That's Him speaking on the outside. But there's things that God will build in you when you pray in the Holy Ghost. He'll begin to place His knowledge in you. And see, when you don't understand the process, it feels the same, like I've been changed. No, there's a big difference from changing to transformation. So for instance, this vision of transformation, God gave me in a millisecond, almost 20 years ago now, or maybe longer. And I've been preaching out this vision for over 20 years, we'll say. But He gave it to me in a millisecond. Well, was that downloaded from heaven right to me? Like all of a sudden I saw it? Not in the full picture of transformation. The picture of transformation is He speaks to your spiritual man. So all the time I spent praying in the Holy Ghost and studying the Word, reading the Word, not studying, reading the Word, was depositing truth in my inner man. And so when He gave me that vision where I could comprehend it, it wasn't that the Holy Spirit spoke it from the outside and gave it to me. No, He had painted that picture in my inner man, and then when it was ready, He took it from the inner man and brought it over to the outward man for me to see it. So it's a different thing than the Holy Spirit speaking out to you. I want to be clear, because if you don't see this, it's confusing. Well, this guy hears God, that guy hears God, and they don't even pray in tongues. But see, they're hearing the Holy Spirit from the outside, and He's given them instructions in slow motion, 1 + 1 = 2. But when you pray in the Holy Spirit, it's a super computer download. All of a sudden, you have million metrics of knowledge installed in your inner man, and the process is as it builds, it begins to leak over to the outward man, where you can see it and you can overcome it and accept it. Christ has to be formed in you. Okay, thank you for allowing me to go there. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12, we've not received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. So knowledge needs a place to go. See, and that's the point of knowledge, that knowledge is transferred from a teacher to a student, and that knowledge has to have a place to go. And so spiritual knowledge does not go to the carnal mind. The carnal mind can't comprehend it. The carnal mind could submit to it. And the process is taking the teachings of Jesus, the true teachings of Jesus, the true knowledge that Jesus had, and putting that in your inner man so that then it will replace the counterfeit knowledge of the outward man, which is similar but not the same. Looks similar, sounds similar, but the knowledge that the outward man can obtain in the Word of God has no power. The real power is from the knowledge that of the truth that's installed in your inner man. And then that truth itself holds power. Verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, the problem with the First Corinthian church is all summed up here in chapter 1, verse 29. That no flesh should glory in His presence. This church had learned how to use praying in tongues as a trinket, as a super spiritual thing where they would pray in tongues, but not to allow themselves to mature and grow. Their focus wasn't praying in tongues. Their focus had become moving in the Holy Spirit, in the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul is bringing a gentle correction in it, and a strong correction in it at the same time. And so here he's laying out that what you've achieved in the kingdom of God has been through your flesh, and there'll be no flesh will not glory in the presence of God. It will be dismissed. So let's look at a few words here, just from these chapters. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So that's Paul's calling them carnal. Well, what does carnal mean? When I preach in Brazil and the interpreter uses my teaching and I'm talking about the outward man and I say, you know, the carnal man, they say, yeah, the carnal man. But then when I talk about going out to eat they call it a barbecue, they call it churrasco, that's Portuguese. We're going to go to have a churrasco, and we're going to eat a lot of meat. And when I use that word, I want a lot of good cow. I want the picanha. I want the good meat. They use the same word, carnal. I can hear it in the translation. The same word for a steak is the same word for the carnal man. So Paul is saying you're carnal. You're operating and walking with God through your outward man. He calls the difference, there's carnal and there's spiritual. There's two ways a Christian can walk with God, through the carnal man or through the spiritual man. And when I say that, it's not spiritual as in experiencing spiritual things, having dreams and visions and all the other stuff. It's about developing the spiritual man. I would say you either walk with God through your outward carnal man or you walk with God through your inward spiritual man. And the spiritual man, if you are a carnal Christian, you're walking and hearing and experiencing God through your carnal understanding, your carnal emotions, trying to shape them to be more like Jesus. He says, but you're a babe in Christ. So these were not new born again believers. These were men and women who walked with God for a season and experienced God, but yet their inner man remained like a baby because they didn't focus on developing their spiritual man. Spiritual people, Paul says, I couldn't speak to as spiritual people. I had to speak to as carnal. Now, in my calling, I'm at a place where the Holy Spirit's told me that Pastor Dave would always say, thank God for the Baptist folk. Where would all this Pentecostal get our people from? You know, we got good old Baptists out there winning souls, you know, focused on that. And thank God for them, because us Pentecostals seem to seek more about experiencing God than doing a good work of winning the neighborhood. And so for a lot of years, my calling, my job was to go to the carnal kind of churches. And listen, there's every church that preaches Jesus is good. I know some incredible men and women out there that love God, who've influenced my life, and I'll always, always love and appreciate them. But much of my ministry has been trying to inspire people to learn and walk with the Holy Spirit as their teacher. And we would try to harvest them and say, hey, come on over and learn to pray in tongues more and more. And Pastor Dave said, the Lord, when he started his church, the Lord told him, you can only take other people's sheep so far. And he was getting frustrated because he would go to a church. Pastor Dave was such an amazing minister, inspire people to pray in tongues. And then he'd go back a year later and they'd all given up on praying in tongues. And the Lord has spoken to me something similar, to where my place now in the church is not to try to bring people into prayer that don't want it or don't see the value of it. My job is to take those who are already have decided that's the walk that they want, that's the path that I want, and to walk and help us go further down this path. So I'm no longer an evangelist to the Baptists. I used to be, but not anymore. So Paul says that there is a carnal group which are immature in their spirit. Their inner man is immature, like a babe in Christ. They're not newborn again babes. That's not the reference here, that you're just newborn again. These are people who walked with God, seen miracles, seen signs and wonders, and heard the Holy. Their whole life was learning how to do something for God. What can we achieve together in the name of God? But the spiritual people are ones who focus on developing the spiritual man. And he said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you're not able to receive it. And even now you're not able. So can a carnal man, an unsaved man, know the truth of the Bible? The answer is no. Even the most educated, well-learned Hebrew study in Israel cannot know. They might get some things right from studying and getting the wording right. This word and this word go together and the context right. They're still going to miss it because their understanding is natural. It's carnal. And there's no power in that understanding. Even if it's right, it doesn't hold the power. Yet, when you were born again, and I was born again, we still are holding and walking inside of that carnal man. So a born-again believer can also try to and attempt to learn God through their outward understanding and get some things right, even in learning the right context. You get some things right, but you'll get a lot wrong. And whatever you learn through your carnal man doesn't hold the power. So I want you to see that word carnal. He calls them carnal. And then we're going to see here in back over in chapter 2, verse 14. Well, actually, I'll read verse 13 and 14. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you spirit to spirit. And the way he talks to you spirit to spirit is he talks fast. He's downloading lots of truth, lots of knowledge in that inner man, because that inner man is born of God. It can hold that truth. But if you force him to talk to your outward man, the outward mind, he has to talk slow, spirit to meathead. And it's slow, spirit to carnal. And you don't learn things, you are given instructions. If that's all you give him, that'll be your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Always giving you instructions, never able to teach you who you are, who you're supposed to be in the kingdom of God. These things we also speak not in words with which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, we hear the word carnal, and now we hear the word natural man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So here I believe Paul is giving us the example that an unsaved natural man can never understand the spiritual truths of God, nor can an AI system. Also, your outward man that was not saved, it was left carnal, can also not receive the wisdom of God, even though you're born again. But what can happen is the spiritual man that was born again, you can sit that spiritual man, that little baby when you're born again, put him in the prayer closet with the teacher. Sit him down in the classroom of the Holy Spirit. And just by praying in tongues, he'll begin to teach that spirit-to-spirit knowledge, wisdom that holds power. And then as that wisdom grows in the inner man, that knowledge develops in the inner man, then from that place, the Holy Spirit will take the inner man's knowledge and confront the counterfeit that's similar and confront it, because even though it's similar, it doesn't hold the power. One more set of verses, and I'll be quiet here. Verse 4, chapter 2. For my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. So there is a Christian teaching about God and Christ that can be developed in your natural, carnal, human wisdom using the Word of God, but it will not hold power. Paul says, I don't teach that. I do teach wisdom, verse 6, which for those who are mature, not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of the age are coming to nothing. But we speak of wisdom of God in a mystery. The wisdom of God, the mystery. What happens when you pray in the Holy Ghost? You pray the mysteries. Those mysteries are where the power of God is to bring change, transformation into your life. You're struggling to overcome something. You're struggling to walk in your calling. If you just pray in tongues, not only will you gain the understanding and wisdom in that inner man, but there's power to break through and to overcome anything you're struggling with by putting that knowledge in the inner man. There's human wisdom mentioned here. There's natural man mentioned here, carnal man. You're wearing an outward man that will try to tell you how to live and serve God. But if you just spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, He will supernaturally take His knowledge, pass it spirit to spirit to your inner man. And as it grows, it may not feel like it. All of a sudden, you'll know something. All of a sudden, you'll have an idea. Oh, wait a minute. That's not right. Pastor Dave would always say, oh, yeah, I'd go to a church and teach them to pray in tongues. And that person would be in that church for years. And then I'd come back the next year, and that person maybe prayed in tongues. He'd say, Pastor Dave, that pastor I listened to on TV the one I used to read his books and all that, he's teaching wrong. He's starting to teach in error. He's not complete. And Pastor David said, no, he didn't change. He's still teaching the same thing. You changed. I would reword that to you transformed, to where that knowledge from praying in tongues came forward from your inner man. The Holy Spirit took it to confront the outward man's understanding. And then you were able to think from the inner man instead of the outward man. You mortified that thought. You say, well, I don't know how I know this. I don't know why I know this. Because it came from your inner man. That's the picture of transformation. All right, I'm going to stop there. Always, always, always appreciate you spending time with me so much and allow me to teach this to you. Once it's in you, no one can unlock you. No one could break you. Say, hey, you need to quit praying so much. You just need to go. You just say, God bless you. Go do your thing. I'm going to do my thing. You become strong in God on this path when you understand it and you see why it's so important to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. I love you. I'll see you again soon. God bless you.